understanding as rational human beings. I mean, who goes searching for the person who is a reminder of life's shittiest events? But the way she looks at me, with the green eyes all bright and the nice lips all parted and the cute face all expectant, if she told me we needed to chase Big Bird across the country and cliff dive into the Pacific Ocean in the dead of winter to find out what's really in Oscar the Grouch's trash can, there's a good chance I'd go along with it just to see what would happen. Needless to say, after this first real encounter, I totally get what Joop was saying about how Ray Chen makes her want to not be so guarded. And fine, now that I've been forced to think about Carl, I am curious about where Dude ended up. Anyway, 3 weeks after launching Operation Cray Cray, or the Carl Conundrum, as Ray calls it, this is what we've learned. He checked into a psychiatric facility just outside Augusta, Georgia, right after that Birmingham show, and then someone reported seeing him panhandling off I-20 in downtown Atlanta 5 years ago. That was creepy as shit. To think the guy whose downfall basically took our respective childhoods with it was begging for change 15 minutes from my house 6 years later? And yeah, I still feel weird about the fact that we're actively trying to solve this mystery, as Ray puts it. And partially because thinking of Carl makes me think of my dad, which is a whole different can of worms, but I can't lie. The time I get one-on-one with her because of our sleuthing is nice. A couple of times a week after cheer practice, she and I spend a little over an hour poking around online for Carousel Carl clues in my basketball coach's computer science classroom, and it's during these sessions that I discover just how much fun she is to be around. Like, she makes everything seem like the best, slash funniest, slash cutest, slash most exciting thing ever. Oh my gosh, Courtney, you have to see this dancing puppy compilation video I found on YouTube. It's the best. And I can't even count the number of times she said, I need to think. And then busted out her graph-ruled composition notebook to make a crossword puzzle. By hand! We're in the computer lab now and hit a snag 15 minutes ago, and Ray's been hunched over that notebook ever since. I peek at her handiwork. Three down reads, force that acts on a body moving in a circular path and is directed toward the center around which the body is moving. She blocks off 11 boxes. Nerding out again, huh? I poke her in the side. She squeaks and jumps. Courtney! Then she shuts the book and turns bright pink, the way I knew she would. Shit's adorable. And it really has been a nice deviation from the norm. But speaking of the norm, the uncomfortable part, for me at least, is that Jupiter doesn't know about any of it. Which leads me to life number two, Joop and Coop 2.0. Now, I'll confess, I don't feel too terrible about more or less chucking the game plan because I'm hanging out with Ray a bunch now, but I have to also confess that things with Joop have gotten a bit out of hand, albeit in a different way. Remember how she said being with me is the safest, happiest place in the world for her? Well, she's gotten a lot more upfront with her enjoyment of our friendship, I guess would be the way to put it. Like, her text messages have gone from busy to Joop and Coop plus lazy boy plus movie equal T minus 7 minutes, okay? And she's way more open with stuff she's never really talked to me about before, like how nervous she gets before a big community service event or how frustrating it is when straight girls flirt with her. She even told me she thinks Brianna, queen of swag and social justice, might be into her. And Joop feels weird hanging out with Brianna sometimes because Joop doesn't want to give Brianna the wrong idea, though she is wicked hot, and I'd be a goner if she ever tried anything. Like I needed to hear that last part. The hardest thing about all this is trying to make sure I don't get the wrong idea, because this new Joop, if I didn't know she wasn't into guys, I would definitely, definitely get the wrong idea. Observe. We're a week out from November. And it's starting to get chilly, so Joop organizes this community outreach thing she calls Burgers and Blankets. She rallies over 100 volunteers, Ray and me included, to go around the city hand-delivering, you guessed it, hamburgers, and donated blankets to the local homeless. The event is a huge success, and Jupe is glowing so much on the ride home, she looks almost radioactive. As soon as Ray leaves the car, Jupe turns to me with her eyes all glossy and says, "That was so amazing, I can hardly stand it, Koopy." She squeezes my thigh one good time, and then she just leaves her hand there, on my thigh. Keeps it there the whole way home. Holy shit. We get into her driveway, and I rush out of the car thinking I'll head to my house for a sub-zero shower and thoughts of the Glacier Grandmas, but when I take a step toward my door, she gives me this look, like she's appalled or something. "You're not coming up?" she says. "Oh." I shift my feet, hopefully inconspicuously. "I kind of need a shower." She pouts, like actually pouts. And then, before I know what I'm doing, I say, "I'll make it quick and come over right after, okay?" Ridiculous. When I get over there, precisely 17 minutes later, she's also showered and changed and has I Love Lucy Season 4 queued up on the TV. Once I'm seated in the Lazy Boy, she sits cross-legged in my lap and pulls my arms around her waist. See what I'm talking about with the whole getting the wrong idea thing? No matter how hopeless I know it is, I like it too much to extract myself from the toxic circumstances. That's what Golly said when I slipped up and told him about a similar encounter a couple of weeks ago. Jupe is just so warm and soft and sexy, and she smells and feels so damn good. It's quite the predicament. After 4 episodes, we climb into her bed and turn the light off. "Coop, I love how her voice sounds in the dark." "Yeah.
Have you ever been in love?"
Well, that was unexpected. "Not in a way that could ever amount to anything."
"What does that mean?"
"Dude stuff. That usually shuts her up." "Oh."
Bingo. And I told the truth. 5 points for the Coopster.
So, because of course I have to ask now, even though I really don't want to know. And yeah, that's probably a little selfish of me, or maybe a lot, whatever. But considering my feelings, I thought it'd just be better if I stayed in the dark about this part of her life. Guess that's over. "Have you ever been in love?" I say.
"Nope."
"Damn it. Why did my heart leap just now?" "Really?"
"Really. Never even been close,
I don't think. Well, besides Delaney."
"It's too bad she moved."
Delaney Patterson kissed Jupe on the lips in the 4th grade, thereby stealing Jupe's heart and simultaneously smushing my soul to dust between her puckered little lips, the wily seductress. It's actually not too bad she moved.
"I've had some crushes here and there," Jupe continues. "Between you and me, I think I might be developing a pretty dangerous one as we speak. But I still have all my gems."
I hear her bracelet jangle in the dark.
"Because I haven't found the right girl to give my everything to yet."
I will not ask about this crush, even though I feel like I just caught a knee to the nuts.
I kiss her temple.
"You're a very special woman, Jupiter Sanchez. Whoever winds up with that charm bracelet will be one lucky chick."
"You did not just say the C word."
"What? Charm?"
"You better be glad I love you, Coop."
With a backhand smack to the ribs. Hey, so which one of these is mine now?" I find her wrist and tap the bracelet. "There's an I love you one, right?"
"Not like that, you ding-a-ling."
Yeah, I know. It was worth a shot. But now I can't resist asking. Jupe?
Mm-hmm.
"Who are you developing a dangerous crush on?" Her diaphragm expands, and I hear her yawn. Then she nuzzles into my neck.
"Like I tell you."
9. In 3rd grade,
Jup asked to see my wiener. Subtitle, Welcome to my third life.
1. Jup, Ray, and I are going to a movie tonight.
2. Football cheer season is almost over. 2 games left and then the playoffs, if we make it, which means basketball preseason is in full effect. I had 4 hours of conditioning this morning.
What does one get when one puts 1 and 2 together?
Courtney Cooper needs a shower.
What does Courtney Cooper do when he needs a shower?
I take one at my house. So when I step into my bedroom butt-ass naked after drying off and leaving a towel in my bathroom where it belongs, the last person I expect to see, stretched out on my bed and reading my Miles Morales novel like she owns the place, the hypocrite, is Jupiter Charity Sanchez. But there she is.
Oh. And that's all she says.
I am frozen just inside the door, as in I am so shocked by her being there and my being naked at the same time, I can't actually move or unhinge my jaw to speak or blink. And then she looks me over from head to toe before zeroing in on it. Yes, that it.
Wow, she says. Wow?
I try to respond, but all that comes out of my mouth is this strangled sound like a frog dying.
It's a lot bigger than I remember. You remember?
I mean, she looks up in my face and blushes.
Yes?
No words.
Ugh!
She covers her face, but looks at it again through the spaces between her fingers and then up into my eyes, sighs, and drops her hands.
It's the only one I've ever seen.
And I swear, she starts full-blown checking me out. Her brow crinkles, her head tilts, she bites her lower lip, and her eyes roam up, down, left, right, shoulder to shoulder, head to toe. It's a look I've seen before. A dude knows when he's being checked out.
And the fact that Jupiter Charity Sanchez is doing the checking, well, it's certainly getting my blood flowing.
First come the goosebumps, and then, oh, and the flush in her cheeks rises simultaneously with my, yeah, you get it. And now I can move. Holy shit. Turns and runs into the closet, no pun intended.
The doorbell rings. That should be Ray. We'll be downstairs. Bye.
Jupe's voice trails off like she's rushing out of the room, and then there's a slam. My head falls against the inside of the closet door with a thunk. After I pull it together, I force myself downstairs and find Jupe and Ray talking and giggling on the couch. Jupe's head is in Ray's lap, and Ray's running her fingers through Jupe's curls, something I would get murdered for if I tried to do. And I have.
Welcome to Krupiter,
also known as Life Number 3. 3, as in third wheel. Now look, when I'm with each girl separately, I have an existence that the other doesn't know about. See Lives 1 and 2. As such, I'm under no illusions about the fact that they have a separate life that doesn't involve me. Thing is, when the three of us are together, their life together, sans Courtney, is what comes to the forefront. There are moments when I can feel my separate life tension with one or the other of them. Like, Jupe will get extra touchy-feely when Ray isn't looking. And if I had a dollar for every time I've looked up and caught Ray staring at me, and instead of turning away, smirking flirtatiously, I'd have enough to pay for all three of us to go to this movie tonight. But in general, when the three of us are together, Jupiter and Ray are giggling, talking, laughing, whispering, touching each other's hair, linking arms, etc., and I'm more or less driving, chaperoning, mascotting, tagging along like some unshakable older sibling. Frankly, I really shouldn't hang out with them at all, since I tend to end up evacuating small soldiers while indulging depraved thoughts after watching them flirt with each other for hours. I don't know how much longer I can live like this. As a matter of fact, before we even get out the door, with the two of them arm in arm, of course, I've decided I'm going to ditch them when we get to the movie theater.
I text Golly and Britt to meet us there because there's no way I can handle this shit tonight. Especially not after Juke gobbled my naked body up with her eyes the way a starved sex goddess would. My inability to handle it intensifies when on the way there, Ray, out of nowhere, says,
Jupiter, you have the nicest boobs.
From the back seat. Oh, God, they're totally out of control, Jupe says, rotating in her seat to look at her, compliment her.
Did I tell you I was a freaking C-cup at 13? What are you now? 36D.
Yes, I do take my eyes off the road to glance at Jupiter's incredible breasts. They fill the mustard-colored V-neck sweater she's wearing quite superbly. Thankfully, she and Ray are too immersed in this conversation I don't/do want to hear to notice me looking.
Ugh, you're so lucky. I'm a 32A, Ray says.
Yeah, but it fits your frame.
From Jupe.
My mom is shaped like you, Ray says. All voluptuous and everything. My sister is too, actually.
Jupe doesn't respond.
Then Ray says, You also have a really great butt.
I promise you, it's like I can feel Jupe blush as she turns forward again.
Oh, stop it, she says. I wonder what this conversation is doing to her.
I'm only telling the truth.
From Ray.
Your body is downright exquisite.
And Jupe is silent. I cannot tell you how happy I am that we're turning into the parking lot now and that Golly's old Ford that's propped up on massive wheels and rumbles like a Tyrannosaurus when he pushes down on the accelerator is already there.
Is that Britton and Golly?
Ray says.
What an awesome coincidence.
Both guys climb down from the truck cab. Well, Britton climbs down. Golly just steps out.
Oh, this isn't a coincidence, Jupe glares at me. You're totally ditching us.
Sometimes I miss the days when she didn't seem to care what I did with my time, even if it did involve ditching her.
Sorry, ladies. Need some time with my boys, if you don't mind.
Of course we don't, Courtney.
Ray says all ray of sunshiny before squeezing my bicep, tossing me a wink, and hopping out. Jupe isn't so quick to let me off the hook. She won't even look at me. Taken with the whole peen-peering thing earlier, I'm confused as all get out, as Mama would say.
Jupe, are you secretly in love with me? Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
You've been super clingy lately. For real. Are you secretly in love with me? Don't be mad at me, all right?
Not possible, unfortunately.
Can we talk about how I was totally naked and you were looking at me like you wanted to eat me?
What's not possible? Being mad at you, Coop. I definitely want to be because you're ditching us, but I can't because you're you.
You suck.
Jupiter, I wish you wouldn't say things like that because it's very confusing for me. Don't you realize I'm passionately in love with you, jackass?
Hey, I take her chin and turn her face so she's looking at me. Yes, this is ridiculous. I'll be home later, okay?
And by home, I mean your home. But, of course, I don't have to say that because you know what I mean. And now your eyes and face are lighting up like the 4th of damn July, and I have no idea what to do with that.
In this moment, I can't help but wonder if that dangerous crush she mentioned is on me.
I gotta ask. Hey, before you go, what's the latest with your crush?
Jupe rolls her eyes.
The girl is clueless, she says.
And my hopes are smashed again.
No idea why I keep doing this to myself.
This was supposed to be the part where I talk about my fourth and final life, Coop and everyone else, but it's currently rolling into the third. When we get back to my house, all Britton and Golly want to talk about is Jupe and Ray. We're eating pizza in the living room with an NBA game playing on the TV, but I'm the only one paying attention to it.
So, Coop, Britton says, picking up the remote and hitting mute.
Dog, I say. Party fucking foul.
"Humph, somebody's testy,"
Golly says with his mouth full.
"And anyway, this game is a repeat, and you already know who won."
From Britain.
"So tell us, what's the deal with Ray and Jupiter, man? We saw them going to the theater arm in arm. Everybody at school is wondering..."
"Everybody at school needs to mind their own damn business.
Pump the brakes with all that attitude, brah. I was just asking, 'cause I want to know."
Britain says,
"I'm thinking about asking Ray to tutor me for the SATs. She's in my AP Lang class, and her vocabulary is thicker than Nicki Minaj."
With stars in his eyes, I think Britain might have a crush on Ray, though he would never admit it. "What the hell does SAT tutoring have to do with Jupe and Ray?"
"Well, it really don't even matter,"
Golly says, downing another half slice of pizza in one bite, then taking a swig of Dr. Pepper straight from the 2-liter.
"All girls do that shit," he says. "My sisters, even the ones with boyfriends, are all like that with their girlfriends. They constantly touch each other and snuggle and play in each other's hair and shit, too. It's a girl thing."
"Yeah, but as you just verified, your sisters are straight. Jupiter is not."
Like I needed the reminder.
"Okay, fine, I did need the reminder.
I hate almost four of my lives right now." "So cool,"
Golly says.
"Little B's dumbass question aside, what's going on with you and Ray? Y'all seem to be getting real close."
"Yeah, don't look too far into it." How to put this without sounding like I'm completely bonkers?
These guys would look at me more than sideways if they knew about my nightmare and the whole Vine Carousel Carl thing.
"We get each other is all," I say. "Both live with single parents who work in the medical field, that kind of stuff."
"Yeah, but wasn't she hella cold-shouldering you?"
Britain says.
"What changed?"
"She was just a little nervous around me at first because she knew I'd lost my dad, you know?"
Okay, shocked at how easily that lie came. "Can't say I know personally, but I get you,"
Golly says. He doesn't like talking about sad things, so this is an easy out. Thank God.
"I guess there's nothing really to talk about then, huh?"
"See?"
"Nope.
Except one, I think Ray might have a thing for me. Two, I think Jupe might have a thing for Ray. And three, I am so wrapped around Jupe's pinky, the tip is surely turning blue, and I can't wait until she gets back so I can kick you asswipes out of my house and go curl up with her to watch The Have and Have Not before we crawl into her bed together, and I can sleep without having the nightmare related to the manhunt Ray and I have embarked on to find our fallen favorite childhood TV star."
"Nothing that would interest y'all, anyway." 10. "But then every 248 years, Neptune and Pluto switch places, and the solar system changes." This little factoid, which I learned from some Discovery Channel documentary I watched with Jupe earlier tonight, an activity that involved having her in my lap for 93 minutes, yes, that was some strategic positioning, is what I'm thinking about as I drive to Ray's house at 3:17 a.m. a week before Thanksgiving. Something I left Jupe alone in bed to do, mind you. She sleeps like a corpse, so unless she's woken up in the past 9 minutes, Jupe has no idea I'm gone. And despite feeling like I made the right choice in leaving, I'm admittedly a little scared to find out what she'll say, think, feel when she realizes I not only left her, but left her to go to Ray's. We fell asleep at around 11, me on my back, her tucked under my arm with half of her bodacious physique draped across me, and my nightmare had just started the way it always does, but instead of merry-go-round music, I heard the intro to this old rap song I like, and Jupiter hates. Carousel Carl appeared, looking like he'd stepped right out of the 90s, and then the rapper's voice filled the air. "I like big butts, and I cannot lie." Turns out, my cell phone was ringing. Which, once I was awake enough to connect the dots, almost made me pass out again. My brain immediately jumped to the time I was awakened in the dead of night, post-carnival 11 years ago, and told it my dad was never coming home. Jupe had shifted off me by that point, and I was able to move, but I was too busy bracing for the worst to actually look at who was calling. So when I croaked hello and heard, "Courtney?" in Ray's voice, it was like somebody tased my brain or something. "Ray?"
I sat up straight. Everything all right?
I'm sorry for waking you.
Don't apologize. Are you okay?
I.
And she sniffled.
Now look, I don't know if it was a manly instinct, a friendship instinct, or both. But the second I realized she was crying, I stood up to put my shoes on. What I gathered before I grabbed the keys and slipped out, she was alone, and she was afraid. So now here I am, pulling into the driveway of her two-story brick colonial at one of those ungodly hours during which, according to Britain, the only thing open is legs. Like he would know.
I don't have to ring the doorbell because she's sitting on the porch steps, all bundled up in one of those puffy coats with her breath fogging the air in front of her face. As a matter of fact, by the time I put the car in park, unbuckle my seatbelt, and reach to shut off the ignition, she's opening the passenger door and climbing in.
"Leave it on,"
she says, holding her hands up to the heater vents. "As you wish." I drop my arm.
"You know, you really didn't have to come,"
says the girl sitting outside in subglacial temps while the vampires are out looking for a snack with sprinkles. I tap a freckle on the back of her hand. She laughs and looks down at the floor, and I have zero doubt her cheeks are all pink. I can't begin to tell you how good that makes me feel right now. She looks over at me, shyly, and I grin. "So, you okay?" I ask. Her eyes drop.
"Well..."
And then she starts to cry again.
"I'm so sorry," she says.
Side note, I for real hate when people apologize for crying. Like, what the hell is there to be sorry about? "Come on, let's get in the back seat."
Under no other circumstances would I ever say those words to a girl. I could just see the look of horror on Jupe's face if she heard me.
Man, I sure hope she hasn't woken up yet. Once we're in back, I lift my arm. "Come here, you." Ray slides underneath it.
"You smell nice,"
she says, and she rests her cheek against my shirt. At first, it makes me smile, but then she says,
"You know what it reminds me of? That stuff Jupiter uses in her hair." I actually almost called her,
Ray continues.
"Woo, off the hook."
"Why didn't you?" She looks up at me.
"You cannot ever tell her this."
"Okay."
"I needed a guy,"
she says. "You needed a guy?"
"Right."
It might be said that I have fairly extensive abandonment issues when it comes to women, since my mom left and my sister eventually joined her.
"Ah, I see. I'm working on it, but when I get to where I am right now, I need a big, strong dude. You know what I mean?"
I laugh. "Can't say I do, but okay. Big, strong dude at your service. Thanks for the compliment, by the way."
"Oh, shut up."
She smacks my stomach.
"Yeah, we've been getting more and more flirty when no one else is around these days. And by no one else, I mean Jupe. Is this wrong?"
"I'm not sure. Though I feel guilty about it sometimes because it does feel deliberate.
Like, Ray and I deliberately don't touch each other or banter or flirt if Jupe is around.
It feels like I'm going behind Jupe's back or something. Like I'm cheating on her. Which is bullshit, right? It's not like she's my girlfriend.
And really, why should I feel guilty for flirting with a cute girl who actually likes dudes? The fact that Ray feels like she has to keep it from Jupe, that she needs a guy, sometimes is laughable because whether Jupe's willing to admit it or not, she obviously needs a guy sometimes too. I don't see her calling any of her girlfriends to come cuddle with her to watch movies and then hold her all night long. Now that I'm thinking about it, it kind of makes me mad, you know, that I'm sitting here feeling guilty about flirting with a girl who's okay with flirting back, that I feel guilty about leaving Jupe alone in a bed very few people even know we share. It's like I'm this
dirty little male secret of hers. She never came out of the closet, so most people assume there is no closet for her. But there is. I'm inside it. She comes in there when she needs a cuddle buddy or a bedmate or whatever, and then goes back out all gay guns blazing when she's done. Wow, I am really pissed off right now.
Do you ever miss him?
Ray says, tugging me back. Huh?
Your dad.
Oh. Well, that was unexpected. I mean, I was pretty young when he passed, so I don't remember a whole lot about him. Except that's a lie. Matter of fact, I have a ton of memories. Was just looking at pictures of him the other day. And I do miss him. Why is it so hard for me to say it?
So, where's your dad?
I ask Ray, slamming a lid back on my dad box and trying to refocus things. It's getting close to 4 and we do have school in the morning. And all right, despite being pissed, I'm still not sure I want Juke waking up to an empty bed if she hasn't already. I really hate myself right now. Ray sighs. He had to go to some AAP conference in Nebraska.
AAP?
American Academy of Pediatrics.
Ah. And he just left you here?
Ugh. She puts her forehead in her hands. It was my idea. When she looks at me this time, I swear to you, the air in the car changes. It's like the way I felt that night Jupe let her guard down and said all those things that sucked me deeper into the inescapable abyss that is being in love with Jupiter Sanchez while in biological possession of a penis.
If I tell you something, do you promise not to judge me?
Ray says. Of course. She takes a deep breath.
So you know how I'm all exuberant, shiny, happy, nicey-nice, vivacious all the time?
I laugh. That's one way to put it.
Well, it's all a lie.
Huh?
None of it's real.
She pulls away, and I can tell she's about to cry again. Honestly, the only time I'm legitimately happy is when I'm with you or Jupiter. The rest of the time, I'm just... She looks down. Unshakably disconsolate.
Not real sure what to say to that. Partially because I have no idea what the hell disconsolate means. But she doesn't go on, so I guess I have to come up with something.
What do you mean by that, Ray?
Shut up. It was the best I could do.
Well, in a word, I'm sad. Last time I remember being really and truly happy was before Carl disappeared and everything fell apart. That's the real reason I want to find out what happened to him.
Wow. Now I'm super uncomfortable because I tend to want to fix things, but I can't even come up with a decent response. She goes on.
I really do want other people to be happy, though. My dad's wanted to go to this conference for 4 years now, but this was his first time being invited as a speaker. He was so excited until he saw the dates. Normally, he'd take me with him, but this time it's 5 days instead of just the weekend, and he didn't want to pull me out of school. I saw how badly he wanted to go, so I convinced him to accept. Told him I'd stay at Jupiter's.
Okay.
He tends to go with whatever I tell him because of some points of contention with my sister. She barely speaks to him now because he went all helicopter parent on her after my mom left.
Dang.
And then when she left me, I...
She shakes her head.
Never mind. Anyway, he asked if I was sure. I said yes. So he left.
Not sure where the sister thing was going, but probably shouldn't pry, right?
And I'd comment on Dr. Chin's parenting, but my mom would have done the same thing, so who am I to judge?
Gotcha. Thing is, I have sleep terrors, she continues. Sometimes I even sleepwalk. It was way worse when I was a kid, but when I get stressed, like I was tonight because I was alone in this new house, I tend to have episodes. she gulps. Woke up in the attic.
Whoa.
Yeah. Also, took me a minute to figure out where I was. I had my phone in my hand, so I called you as soon as I did. Needed to hear the voice of a friend. Haven't felt that alone in a long time.
Wow, Ray.
She wipes her tear-streaked face, and I pull her back in and rub the top of her arm. Sorry for unloading on you. Don't apologize. As you said, I'm your friend. It's what I'm here for. Though I'll admit I had no idea you were going through all this. Well, that's the point, isn't it? I pretend so no one will have any idea. My dad made me see a therapist for a while, and she used to say I had an issue with people-pleasing. Hence the everything is jolly yee-haw act.
Didn't judge Dr. Chin's parenting, but definitely judging Ray's use of yee-haw. So why didn't you come to Jupe's?
I ask. I have nightmares sometimes, and she's usually the person who's there to bring me back. Holy hell, why did I just say that? She hesitates for a second before pulling away and looking down at her hands.
I didn't want to impose,
she says.
I'm not sure if she meant to, because she seemed embarrassed about it afterward, but a few weeks ago, Jupiter let it slip that you guys hang out most nights.
Is she serious? Are you serious? She turns to the window and clears her throat, and I swear to you, a wall drops down between us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird, right? Open book to brick barrier in less than a second? She's dead silent now and won't look at me, which means she's totally not telling me something. Right? Or maybe I'm overthinking things. See what I mean about not Jupe girls being hard as hell to read? Though even she's like a foreign language at this point. Like, she's embarrassed about Ray knowing we hang out? The hell's up with that?
Well, I'm taking you to my house now, I say. You can sleep in our guest room tonight and then go to Jupe's tomorrow. Or maybe the two of you can have another sleepover with my mom if she's home. Before I have a chance to consider the weight of what I just said, Ray turns back to me and smiles like I just offered her the galaxy or something. And just like that, I set the following two facts in stone. One, Jupiter Charity Sanchez will definitely wake up alone. Two, she and I will not be sleeping together for at least the next three nights. Thing is, looking at Ray right now, at the light in her face that wasn't there when she got into the car, at the relief in her shoulders, I don't even care that I didn't get Jupe's permission. Matter of fact, I know in this moment that I'm going to do everything in my power to help her solve the Carl conundrum. It clicks with me then. There's something really delicate and vulnerable and not Jupe about Ray. It makes me want to, like, protect her, rescue her even. And despite the fact that Jupe would shit glitter if she heard me imply that any girl needs to be rescued, it feels good to want to do that for Ray. Not sure if I'm brainwashed by the friggin' patriarchy or if it's just part of being a dude, but knowing she needed a guy and I'm the one who came through makes me feel really damn good. Don't get me wrong. I love Jupe's strength and independence and all that. It's great and sexy as hell, I won't lie. But this gorgeous, whip-smart girl sitting here gazing at me the way she is right now, I'm feeling this. Come on. I tell her before opening the door, grabbing her hand and pulling her out of the car. I'll walk you in to get your stuff. When she's out, I push the car door closed and turn to lead her up to the house, but she stops me. Hey, wait. So I turn around. I'm still holding her hand, which is soft but cold and kind of bony, compared to Jupe's meatier, always warm hands. It's a strange sensation. But not an unpleasant one. She's staring up at me, and things are a little tense. Not like we're gonna kiss tense, but something's definitely different between us.
Thank you,
she says.
For what?
Yeah, fishing for the ego stroke. Deal with it. Her eyes drop. Just the thought of her freckly cheeks being all pink is making me smile really hard and feel this strange warmth in my chest. She clears her throat, squares her shoulders, and raises her chin to look me in the eye. Cutest show of bravery I've ever seen. For being the guy I needed, she says. And just like that, the planets realign. Game plan? Game on.
Book 2. Assess Quipedalian Search for a Simplified Science Savant. 11. Stupefied. Adjective. Overwhelmed with amazement. Astounded. Astonished. Exhibit A. Ray Chin, veritable home invader, wide awake in a paisley wallpapered guest suite across the hall from Courtney Cooper's bedroom. How on earth did I even get here? Better yet, who is this guy who would get out of bed at 3:30 a.m. on a school night to come get me and bring me to his house so I wouldn't be alone? It's one thing for him to humor my Carousel Carl shenanigans, but this is a push past plausibility. There's a knock.
Ray?
Come in, I say. Courtney sticks his head in the door.
Sorry to wake you.
No worries. I wasn't sleeping.
Oh, did you get any sleep at all?
His eyebrows pull together, and I have to look away because, well, I'm a little embarrassed about being here, in his house, because he basically rescued me. Jupiter would have a conniption. I got enough, I lie.
Okay, good.
His shoulders relax.
We need to leave for school in 45 minutes. Just wanted to make sure you had time to get ready. You brought your cheer uniform, right? Game tonight. Should have asked before we left your house.
I smile. I brought it.
Okay, good. Towels are in the bathroom closet.
Got it. Thank you.
Oh, my mama told me to tell you, hold on.
He pulls his phone from his back pocket, taps the screen, and holds it up to his face.
Hi, sweetheart. Hope you slept well. Guest room is yours whenever you need it. And let me know if either of my knucklehead children gives you any trouble.
Utterly speechless.
Sorry if that was weird.
Phone returns to the pocket.
She made me write it down. Said she was going to ask you if I delivered. So, there you go.
Now he won't meet my eyes. I clear my throat. Try to keep my grin from overtaking my entire face. I'll let her know you did.
Appreciate that.
He doesn't move, just stares at me. It's giving me heart palpitations.
I'm glad you're here, Ray.
Really? He laughs.
Why wouldn't I be?
Is that rhetorical? He laughs again. Am I funny?
Oh, Koopy!
A voice trills from downstairs before I hear the front door slam. Jupiter? I ask. Coop rolls his eyes, which makes me laugh.
Girl thinks she owns the place, he says. I'll let you get ready.
Does she know I'm here? It's out of my mouth before I can stop it, and part of me feels asinine for asking, because it really shouldn't matter. We're in his house. It's just that, looking around this room, and at this beautiful boy standing in the doorway, I feel like I'm encroaching on something sacred, something definitely hers. And while I can't say I know her that well, Jupiter Charity Sanchez doesn't seem the type to take kindly to encroachments upon her territory. Not that Courtney Cooper is mere territory.
What the heck did I get myself into by calling him in the middle of the night?
She doesn't, he says, but she's about to find out.
He winks before closing the door. I guess Courtney's revelation of my presence goes over well, because when I get downstairs, Jupiter greets me with such exuberance and quite the embrace. One would assume we hadn't seen each other in months. It makes me wonder just how much Courtney told her. Hope he didn't mention my faux joviality. Though, pretending to be ecstatic to see her when I'm this self-conscious about the circumstances is challenging. Hi, Jupiter, I say once she releases me. She's wearing an apron. Kiss the cook, but don't touch the buns. I smile, but now I'm thinking about her buns, and I can't get my eyes to lift past her lips. They are very lovely lips, covered in a shimmery gloss that I bet is sweet to the taste. I swallow. Come, she says, grabbing my hand and pulling me into the kitchen. She deposits me in front of a meticulously arranged place setting. I take a seat, and within seconds, her 36 D's are in my face as she puts a plate down in front of me. Eat fast. We gotta leave in 11 minutes. Irita's meeting this morning. And she sashays away. Courtney grins at me from the opposite end of the table, where he's got his chair kicked back on two legs and is nursing a glass of orange juice. I drop my eyes to my plate, sure my face just spontaneously combusted. Did I seriously call him at past 3 in the morning? Clearly I did, because here I am at his kitchen table with the fragrance of an omelet smothered in some kind of tomato-y, onion-y, garlicky sauce, tickling my olfactory epithelium. I take a bite. Holy ambrosia! What is in this stuff?
It's called sofrito, Courtney says with another smirk.
Is he really watching me eat?
It's nuts, right?
Mm-hmm. I stuff another mouthful.
Milk? Water? OJ?
Jupiter removes the apron and hangs it on a hook. Coffee is what I really want. But is that weird? Also, she didn't offer that, so...
Water is fine, thank you.
She brings a pitcher and fills the empty glass in front of me. Smiles.
Food okay?
More than okay is what I want to say, but...
Oh, yes,
is what comes out. I take a gulp of water before I can make a bigger idiot of myself. She's still beaming at me.
I'm happy you're here, Ray Ray.
And now I choke.
Oh my God, are you okay?
Jupiter rushes over and smacks me on the back.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine, I say. Minor epiglottal failure.
Now she and Courtney are both beaming.
I can't even handle her, Jupiter says. Oh, me neither, he replies.
His eyes fix on me.
Best morning I've had in weeks.
Oh my gosh, stop, I say, my face aflame again. Now they're laughing. For the second time this morning, two people I deeply admire have told me they're glad to have me around.
I wonder how many more times it would take for me to actually believe it. School is surreal. Actually, no, everything is surreal. There is nothing outwardly different. Jupiter is driving this morning, so despite it being November and 50 degrees, we ride the entire 12 minutes with all the windows rolled down and a blend of Queen and Halsey. This woman might be Freddie Mercury reincarnate, Jupiter once said. They're both bisexual, both incomparable songwriters, both have voices like angels. Blasting from the speakers as Jupiter sings into the wind. I typically stretch my legs across the back seat and work on a crossword,
But this morning, I can feel the beat thrumming at the base of my spine, almost like it's inside me. There's a string quartet on this track that makes my hair stand on end, and some of the melodies and harmonies are so rich, my eyes literally prickle with tears. This hyper-awareness continues all day. People smiling at me and saying hello in the halls both overwhelms me with joy and makes me want to flee to the bathroom and hide. In AP language, Britton touches my arm to ask me a question, and I startle so intensely my pencil goes flying and I almost fall out of my desk. Eventually, I do flee to the bathroom just so I can regroup. I've never felt this out there before, all exposed like some sort of stripped wire that'll zap anyone who gets too close. It's times like these I miss our massive backyard in Alabama and how easy it was to just go out and tumble until I'd flipped so many times it felt like my brain had realigned. Knowing Courtney Cooper's aware of the truth about me and my duplicity is one thing. Knowing he's fine with it, that it didn't make him turn tail and run, that's another thing entirely. 12. Syzygy. Noun, an alignment of three celestial bodies, as the sun, the earth, and either the moon or a planet. I stay at Jupiter's house all weekend, and then the following Thursday, on the morning of our inaugural Thanksgiving in Georgia, she invites me over to help prep a few items for the dinner her dads are hosting. We're working on a cake that involves three varieties of milk when she turns to me and smiles. It makes me blush. What? Just glad you're here. There it is again. You are? Why does this keep surprising me? I am, she says. It's totally selfish, but you coming here has been the best thing to happen to me since Coop moved in next door. Oh, I don't know if my face has ever been this hot. She goes on. How ironic that the person who taught me the importance of letting people know I appreciate them is embarrassed by my appreciation. She bumps me with her hip. Could you stop? I look away. This flattery to the point of fluster happens more often than I care to admit when she's around. And it was unnerving at first, because I'd never reacted to a girl that way before. But the more time I spend with her at school, the more I realize that pretty much everyone gets inarticulate around her. Guys, girls, teachers, administrators, janitors, librarians, classroom pets. Even Courtney does at times, and they've been friends for an eon and a day. Anyway, to have the most enchanting human being I've ever encountered tell me my move to her town is the best thing to happen to her in 10 years? Did you inhale too much flower dust or something? I say. She laughs. It's nothing short of pure resplendence. You totally don't get it, do you? She says. Can't say I do. Sorry. Okay. I'll explain, but you have to promise you won't pass out from all the compliments I'm about to give you. Oh, shut up. I blush again, and there's more laughter from her. It's a marvel we ever make it through a conversation. So, my whole life, I've never really fit anywhere, she begins. And I'm not even talking about being gay. Not that it was super easy, but having gay dads and super accepting people like Coop and Nita made it possible for me not to really struggle with that part of myself. Okay. But when it comes to other stuff like being biracial and growing up without a mom, well, it was never a big deal because those things just are. And I've never known any different. You being here makes me feel less singular because I know you get those things. She says. She's looking at me with her golden eyes all squinchy, like she's waiting for a response. But I don't have one, because I've only ever felt like an oddball. How ridiculous is the notion that I've made another human being feel like less of one? I guess I look just as baffled as I feel, because now her smile is fading, and her eyes are opening so wide. The gold of her irises looks molten and is threatening to spill over onto her cheeks. Shit, was that totally insensitive? She says. I promise you, I wasn't implying that our mom situations are remotely the same. I'm so sorry, Ray. She closes her eyes, and her chin drops to her chest. Wait, no, that's not it at all. I just... And now, she looks hopeful. How did I wind up in this position with the most popular and beautiful and funny and kind and compassionate and socially conscious and girl at my new school? No one's ever said anything like that to me before. I look at my feet. Just sounds a little strange because I've never fit anywhere. Really? She globs a can of sweetened condensed milk into a mixing bowl and follows it with a can of evaporated milk, because apparently they aren't the same thing. And a cup of heavy cream. Jupe, I grew up in Flintley, Alabama, I say. My dad was the only Asian in like 100-mile radius. The next town over was like 96% African-American, so I saw non-white people all the time, but I was definitely an anomaly. She turns to me with her eyebrows furrowed, like this is the most interesting thing she's ever heard. Tell me more. My sister and I both got bullied when we were younger because we didn't look like everybody else. It was your standard anti-Asian dreck. Pulling out the corners of the eyes, yelling stuff like ching chong and hi-ya, asking if our dad was Bruce Lee. I shudder at the memory. It was actually a lot worse for her than for me. She's got black hair, dark brown eyes, and porcelain skin without freckles. So kids used to say she was a witch and a devil worshiper. Those fuckers, Jupiter says. I giggle. There's something refreshing about a beautiful girl's use of profanity, after living in the land of southern etiquette and debutantes for so long. It tapered off for me in middle school, because I started to look less Asian. But even after I got into cheering and it was clear people liked me, I still didn't fit. Here, stir. She passes me the bowl of milks and a whisk, then goes to grab the cooled cake from the wire rack next to the stove. Once she's beside me again, she starts poking holes in the cake with a fork. So, where's your extended family? My mom and her parents are in New Hampshire. My sister moved there when she was 13 and goes to Dartmouth now. And most of my dad's family is in Jamaica. Her eyebrows lift. Jamaica? Mm-hmm. That's where he's from. My grandparents were born there, too. That's pretty much all I know about them, though. I've never met them. When we were younger, my sister told me they cut ties with him when he married our mom, and while I've never had the guts to ask him, I sort of believe her. The one time we met my dad's brother's family, our cousins made fun of us for not being Chinese enough. Dad's family cut ties with him when he came out, Jupiter says. He's actually got an ex-wife and two kids. Really? I mean, his kids are grown now, but yeah, she says. It's sad, you know? I nod. Really is. Well, whatever slightly depressing path led you here, I'm really glad you came, Ray. You really do fit with Coop and me. I seriously feel like the three of us belong together. Here, taste. Jupiter dips her finger into the bowl and holds it up to my mouth. I hesitate. My dad is a doctor, after all, and holy unhygienic, Batman. But then she starts wiggling it and making her eyebrows dance. Come on.